Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Down the block, Andrew Johnson. Inside for Elvin. Elvin will score! Elvin will score! Newcastle has won!
G'day legends, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. We're going to go through our rapid review for round 7. Now, same as we did last week, it'll all change next week. Actually, last week we weren't on, we apologise for that. Had a bit of life going on, wedding anniversary and whatnot. But the week before, we are recording this one on Sunday morning. So obviously the games tonight. Tonight is the last 6 p.m. game that we have. Oh, sorry, it's the first 4 p.m. game. But I've got a birthday dinner tonight for family that I need to attend. So I'm actually doing the rapid review of the first 6 games, and then we'll have the other 2 coming your way tomorrow. So the first 6 games today, this is recorded on Sunday. My brother's actually making his Jersey Flag debut today, so very keen to go out and watch him. So that kind of throws my day around a little bit, but some things take priority. So we've got your first 6 games, a rapid review of those coming your way today, brought to you by the Roo Crew, the Rugby League Guru Patreon. The link is in the description if you would like to join up. I would highly advise coming over and having a look, guys. You get all the podcasts during the week and whatnot, but then you get all the videos as well. So all the video content throughout the week of pretty much every podcast that we do, along with bonus content, early access to all of our stuff. We've got merch dropping in a few weeks for Magic Round, or as I'm calling it, Caxton Round. And the Roo Crew, they will have first dibs on those. And there is limited supply. So if they all go to the Roo Crew, so be it. They will have first dibs and will not be missing out. So if you want to get first dibs on Guru merchandise, as you guys know, sells out pretty quickly, jump in the Roo Crew. And if you're a Supercoach player, I'll tell you what, it's just about the best value for Supercoach you can possibly find. $2 a week, you get all of the stats that we drop in there, which is probably the most overwhelming thing of all time. But for me, I've used it today to pick my Supercoach captain and whatnot. I've used it for my trades this week. Very, very handy. So you get the raw stats. You then get an analysis by the guy that puts the stats together, the great Wooker. And then you get my thoughts on the stats where I go through it. Kat joined me this week to give you a bit of context around what the stats say. There is just so much in there in the Roo Crew. I'd highly advise you join. $2 a week, $8 a month. Absolutely cheap as chips for what you're getting. Come in and have a look. If you don't like it, so be it. Hit the frog and toad. That's completely fine. But I reckon when you come in and have a look and see the value you're actually getting, I think it'll make sense to you very quickly. So the description for the Roo Crew is below. Let's go to the first game. The Melbourne Storm knocking over the Sydney Roosters 18 points to 12. It was pretty even money going into these games for these two sides. And this game did not disappoint. I really, really enjoyed this game. We'll start with the Melbourne Storm. I thought Jerome Hughes in the first half, he was tremendous. Had a very good game, Hughesy. But I thought in the first half, he just blew it away. That try that he scored where he just hit the ball at 100 miles an hour, just instincts that you can't really coach. And Hughesy, he's at his most dangerous when he's running. And I think Hughesy's realized that. And I love watching this guy play footy. I was actually playing him in Supercoach drafts. So I was hoping for a quiet game. But fuck, he's hard not to just love watching play, isn't he, Jerome Hughes? I'm such a big fan. Eli Katoa, how on earth he scored that try, I will never know. With that many Roosters on him, just insane that he managed to score that. I know there was the touch from Nelson Asofa-Solomona, maybe by the book, no try, sure. In my opinion, though, the Roosters still should have stopped that try, which they didn't. So it is what it is. I thought those two were fantastic. Xavier Coates, I think he is just about locked in for a Queensland jersey this this year. He probably was pretty close to it anyway, but his form this year has just been incredible. I've been so impressed with him. You know what? Really interesting this game because, you know, Cam Munster wasn't huge. If anything, Cam Munster probably cost them more than he gave them. Obviously, that sin binning that really hurt. Well, I mean, it should have hurt the Melbourne Storm, but they just galvanised and made it work. Dumb play by Cam Munster, though. But at the same time, I look at that play and I go, you know what? It's really scat. It doesn't make sense. And that annoys me. But at the same time, that's who Cam Munster is. And that's what makes him so great, that when the bright lights are on him and he's looking a defeat square in the eyes, he just doesn't care, and he can pull something out of his ass at any given moment. Occasionally, there's going to be a brain explosion like the other day, but the vast majority of the time, Cam Munster will come up trumps for you. So, read into that. Watch you will. I can go either way on it. Great to see Nass back in first grade. I think that, you know, as much as he's probably not at his absolute greatest right now, I think he is going to be super important to them as the season goes on. The standout performance for me was the great Sean Bloor. I am so excited about this kid. I feel like, probably outside of Eli Katara, it's been a while since the Melbourne Storm have brought someone down there that has just absolutely exploded. I mean, you could say Nick Meaney, but he's been down there for a while. Xavier Coates is already a gun when he arrived. Probably Eli Katara is the one they've improved the most, but I reckon Sean Bloor, he's going to go down as one of Bellamy's best. Ran for 120 metres, 120 tough fucking metres though. Had a line break assist, had three tackle breaks, 31 tackles, missed zero. Very, very impressive game from Sean Bloor. I think he is in for a very big season. A lot of us had to make the decision this week in Supercoach whether we went Bloor or Angus. I went Angus. Honestly, I'm looking at bringing in Bloor this week. I know he's going to go up a bit of cash and it might be a little bit late, but I will be seriously considering because he looks like an absolute gun to me. He's going to be such a good signing for the Melbourne Storm. Outside of that, not a heap to touch on. Look, the Melbourne Storm, they aren't going to beat themselves. That's the beauty of this footy side. They aren't going to beat themselves. And if you're planning to compete with this Melbourne Storm side, you best show up with your shovel because you're going to have a real dig to take 2 points off this side. They are just such a typical Melbourne Storm side. As I said, they're just not going to beat themselves. And, you know, I think Pappy's got a lot more to offer this year. I think Cam Munster's got a lot more to offer this year. Harry Grant, by his standards, probably has been quiet as well. So scary to think what this team could be doing in a few weeks' time if it all starts to click and they really find some momentum. The Roosters, pretty disappointing. And I'm going to start off by saying that I was really disappointed with Trent Robinson's comments after the game. I think Trent Robinson to me looks like a guy that's under pressure at the moment. You know, he came out with those outrageous statements a couple of weeks ago off the back of the Dom Young incident, which just made no fucking sense to me whatsoever. Just sounded like he was scrambling. And I don't know, to walk away from this game when his team missed 50 tackles and never really looked that great, to walk away and, you know, put a heap of shit on the refs like he did. And I understand that it's frustrating. I get that. But as I always say, and I think the Roosters are a classic fucking example at the moment, if you let the referees decide the game, you haven't done enough to win it. And that's the bottom line. The Roosters didn't do enough to win this game, in my opinion. With the squad they've got and everything, they should have won this game. It was there to be won. With 25 minutes to go, Cam Munster gets sin binned, and that 10 minutes was a bit of a debacle from the Sydney Roosters, to be honest with you. You had a lot of unforced errors. I think in the last 25 minutes, they had 10 errors or penalties in that 25-minute period where Melbourne Storm had a player off the field. You had James Heskett at one point kicked on second tackle when it wasn't on. He turned the ball over on a number of occasions. Just the game was there to be won for the Sydney Roosters, and they didn't produce. They didn't do what they needed to do, and I think that's on the Roosters, not on the referees, personally. I get where Robbo's coming from with that Nelson and Asafa-Solomona try, but personally, I would hope that Robbo walks into the press conference and says, fuck, we had 6 Roosters on that guy, and he still managed to score, not blame the ref because they didn't make the call on Nelson Asafa-Solomona. I hope it's different behind closed doors at the Sydney Roosters. But at the moment, I am not liking the vibe coming out of there. I don't like the way that Trent Robinson's handling his press conference. I think there's a lot of finger pointing going on there at the moment out of frustration that they can't get the best out of their footy side. That's my take on it. I know a lot of Roosters fans think they were robbed on the weekend. I think that's complete and utter bullshit. To be perfectly honest with you, that game was there to be won and the Roosters weren't good enough. The better side won. I personally thought the ref dicked the Melbourne Storm a lot more than he dicked the Roosters. And I personally thought that was really fucking evident. So, Yeah, that's my take on it. Don't know how you guys feel. Keen to hear your thoughts in the comments. All these jokes about me being a Roosters fan and whatnot, I'm not. I just don't push back on it anymore. And I hope there's a little bit of evidence to you, because I think what's going on there at the moment, I think they're in a little bit of trouble, because they're just – there's finger-pointing going on. That was a game that was there to be won at home. They weren't able to get it done, and I personally thought they looked really ordinary, and it shits me that a coach like Trent Robinson comes out and blames the refs after. I just can't get my head around it. Anyway, I like what the Melbourne Storm did. They were trying to, I thought it was pretty evident, they were trying to keep the ball away from Daniel Tupou. I found that they actually kicked the ball down the throat of James Tedesco quite a bit, because I think they were happy for Teddy to return the ball. I think they were trying to limit the impact of Daniel Tupou and Suoliti. You have a look at their kick return meters. Teddy had 78. Daniel Tupou had 11, and Suoliti had 6. So I think this was part of a game plan by the Melbourne Storm that I wonder if other teams will start to pick up on as well. That, you know, when Tupou and Suoliti get on the front foot, the Roosters then start to roll. But they didn't really give them that opportunity. They kicked it to James Tedesco. They covered him, and then they really put a lot of pressure on those next two to taking those hit-ups and handled them really, really well. Kept Daniel Tupou to 142 metres and kept Suoliti to 90. So I think there's something in that that teams need to be aware of. Connor Watson at 5'8", I thought he did an okay job. Playing out of position, he's their third or fourth choice, 5'8", obviously. I thought Luke Keary had a good game, to be fair. And this comes back to, you know, once again, working out, okay, what's their best combination? Because, you know, we've got even more evidence now that Keary's better without Walker. We know that Walker's better without Keary. And potentially they're both better with Sandon Smith than with just one of them. We've been saying this for a few weeks, and the plot thickens. Sam Walker's on the extended this week, didn't play. I reckon he comes back next week, so interesting to watch there. I thought Victor Radley was really, really good for the Roosters. 190 run meters, played really tough. Imagine he would have got, how many tackles did he make? 36. Missed 5, to be fair, but 36 tackles there. Had an offload in there. Radley was very good. I thought Angus Crichton was solid as well. A good little super coach buy for all involved. Worth noting that Nat Butcher only played the 54 minutes. Angus played the 80, so a nice little win there. The thing that did surprise me a little bit was Terrell May. Only played the 30 minutes. Didn't really have much impact, which is really disappointing. Still scored 37 Supercoach points, so if he was to get his 50 or 60, you're still getting a good score there. But yeah, I was a bit surprised by his minutes. Bit hard to work out what's actually going on there with Terrell May. We'll stick with him for now, obviously. Everyone's got him anyway, so it's not going to cost us. But yeah, an interesting one there. Yeah, so the Melbourne Storm, they were the better side. I thought they were probably dicked a little bit more than the Roosters by the referees, and they still found a way to win, which is what good footy sides do. They also had arguably their best player, Simbin, for 10 minutes with 25 minutes to go. So yeah. And look, the ref wasn't great. Don't get me wrong. The referee didn't have a great game. I understand that. I get that. There's no denying that. But the better team won that game of football, because at the moment they're a better football team. And that's the fucking reality of it. All right, let's move to the next game. We had the Dragons, 30 points to 12 over the New Zealand Warriors. Look, oh, I thought the Dragons were a sniff to win this one. At Wynn Stadium, they are always a sniff to win. Did I think they'd win like this? No fucking way. And look, I still tip the Warriors. But I thought a lot of people that were tipping the Warriors to win big, I always had a feeling the Dragons would get up for this one and make it tight. They blew the Warriors away, which absolutely hit me for six. I did not see this coming at all. I thought Moses Sully had a very strong game. The last few years for him have been incredible. He's been very, very impressive. Zach Lomax, once again, fantastic. Scored a try, set up another one, was unlucky not to score another one off a forward pass that probably isn't called every single time, to be fair. A very, very good game from Zach Lomax, and a fantastic signing for the Parramatta Eels heading into next season. Who else did I like in this game? I thought Sloan was strong as well. He's had a good few weeks, Sloan. I think they found a good balance of, you know, getting Lomax involved, but also keeping Sloan at fullbacks, because, you know, there is things that he brings to the Dragons game that are very, very helpful. I thought he was good, Sloan. Outside of that, Sully, I said he went good. Ravalawa was pretty good as well, ran for 160 metres. If you can get that out of him every week, we will take it. Jacob Little, I thought he had a good game as well. He was sort of dangerous around the ruck. I know all the talk going into this game was, of course, about Wade Egan, but I thought Jacob Little was really good. Harmsele,
He was solid as well. Jaden Sewer, really good. Fuck, he's having a good season, Jaden Sewer. Very good season, Jaden Sewer. He's looking good to me. I reckon he's a real, real sniff at getting back into an Origin jersey this year. Obviously missed a couple of tackles, but I just think he looks good this year. Tommy Eisenhuth went about his work as he always fucking does. Bloke's a maniac. He made 56 tackles, Tommy Eisenhuth, through the middle. 56 tackles in 57 minutes. Pretty damn impressive. Only had 5 or 6 hit-ups, sort of plays that link man role for them as well. But the defensive work that Tommy Eisenhuth gets through is just fucking wild. And Jack DeBellin, really solid coming off the bench again. Good to see New Brown back in the NRL. Played about 20 minutes off the bench at the back end, taking Jacob Little off. Congratulations to him. But yeah, look, the Dragons, very impressive. I still have no idea who this football team is. No idea whatsoever. I personally think if it was played in New Zealand at Mount Smart, I think the Warriors give it to them. But at home, the Dragons are always a sniff. There's no doubting that. So credit to the Dragons. Yeah, really good game. I enjoyed this one. And I just want to see the Dragons do this week to week. The Warriors, probably one of the more consistent sides we've seen in the NRL so far this year. This was probably their worst performance that we've seen so far. Just didn't really gel. You know, just a couple of dumb things throughout this game as well. The short kick, the short drop out and whatnot. You could tell SJ was fuming in that one. But I think full credit to the Dragons because 10 minutes into this game, it looked like the Warriors were going to put fucking 60 points on them. SJ scored the first try. I should have seen how excited I was sitting there with an SJ double as my bet. But then the Dragons, they wrestled it back and they did really well. Did really well. Full credit to them. Dallin Mateniz Lesniak, he scored late in this game. For you Supercoach players that followed the great Wimmy Tilliams into that one, you got a little get out of jail there, you bastards. Really hurt because I brought Lomax, he brought DWZ. And as soon as Lomax got that try taken off him for a forward pass, DWZ then scored. I think Lomax beat him by about 20 or so, but you know, you can't win them all. But that would have been nice if DWZ didn't score any meaties in that game. Guys for the Warriors, Tohu Harris, great as per usual. Chancing a clock star, 260 meters again. Very, very impressive. I thought AFB was fantastic. I haven't had a look at his stats, but I imagine they were good. 69 minutes, 26 hit ups for 255 run meters, 108 post-contact meters and 6 tackle breaks for Adam Fanua Blake. 23 tackles, 0 missed. My God, the boy can play. He's going to be a very, very good signing for the Sharkies next year. Really interesting to see Jackson Ford and Kurt Cable. Now, to be fair, between them, they made 75 tackles. So they got through a lot of work defensively. But they ran for a grand total of like 57 meters or something combined, the two of them, which is very unusual for those two guys. Maybe they were just playing, maybe they had a game plan to play right through the middle, which kind of makes sense. 26 hit up for AFB, 14 for Mitch Barnett, 22 for Tohu Harris. Maybe it was just part of the Warriors game plan, but yeah, you normally see those boys a lot more involved than what they were in this game. So interesting one there. SJ started really well, but sort of faded at the back there, as did the rest of this side, realistically. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, 150 run meters again, very solid. Just the opportunities never really came his way. Yeah, look, really good performance by the Dragons. Disappointing by the Warriors, but I'm not going to read into it all that much, to be honest with you. I think they just came up against the Dragon side that played good footy at home and were really up for that clash. So full credit to the St. George Illawarra Dragons in that one. All right, let's move to the next game as my internet shits itself, which is always good when you're live. We've got the Dolphins and the Eels. Holy fuck, what about this game? This was wild. Shout out to Kathmandu. I think she tipped the Dragons into the Dolphins. She definitely tipped the Dolphins. 44 points to 16. Wow. Especially when you consider how it started. When Sean Lane crashed over, I thought, okay, this could get ugly. Will Penasini then danced his way in. He was our ATS on the podcast for the day, our favorite, about $2.90 on Ned's. Nice little value there. At that point, I thought, this is going to get ugly for the Dolphins, the poor bastards, missing a heap of players, their coaches, and they're very tough, arguably missing their three best players, Flegler, Herbie, Hamiso, coach not there. Very, very tough gig in war conditions up there. And then they just went fucking bang. That was a shit click. Bang. And they absolutely lit it up. I thought Jack Bostock, God, he's having a good few weeks. He has been incredible. And I thought it was very evident from the trials this year. We said it from the start that it looks like he's put a lot of weight on. He's sort of grown into his body a little bit. And he just looks lethal at the moment, Jack Bostock. We sold him last week and it's a bit of a kick in the dick. 130-odd Supercoach points there. Very, very impressive performance. Trey Fuller, the fullback, another one we tipped for an ATS. Such a good player. If there's a new franchise coming in the next year or two, Trey Fuller Sewell will be 28, 29 by that point. Might be a guy that's worth having in a squad. Or if you're a team out there that needs a fullback, geez, you could do worse than picking him. I know he's a little bit older. He's not a young guy. He'd only be a 2-3 year play, but man, the kid's got the bloke's got some. I keep calling him a kid. The bloke's got some serious talent, and it didn't shock me to see him light it up. Our boy Maxi Plath, who's spoken about him a lot to start this season. I absolutely love this kid, and I do think he will play for Queensland. I don't think it's a matter of if; it's a matter of when. He is an absolute gun. I spoke about it on the KO show. What was that, a month or so ago? I think it was round two. We had Ray Stone on, and Ray Stone's a man of not many words, but the one time that we cracked him, and he sort of showed a little bit of energy. Was when I asked him about Max Plath, I said, mate, you're out this week. He gets to wear jersey 13. He looks like a tough fucking hombre to me and a very good player. What are your thoughts? And you could tell Ray Stone, he just got a bit of energy about him. He knew that he was talking about one of his own in Maxi Plath, which excites me a lot. For those of you that don't really know Max Plath's history, it was only a couple of years ago he was playing in the, I think it's the Dearden Hastings Colts or whatever it is up there in Queensland. I don't know the exact name. But I went back and watched a few games that he played there. He was a halfback that was kicking match-winning field goals not that long ago. So the kid has got an absolute heap of talent. He is tough as fucking nails. And I posted on Instagram the other day that Queensland's going to pick him at some point. He's going to absolutely brain it. I have no doubt about it. I see a lot of Reuben Cotter in this guy. But he's just got a lot more upside to him. So Maxi Plath, big future, a great little get by the Dolphins. And maybe one of the ones that got away for the Brisbane Broncos as well. Really, really like him. Not sure what his contract situation is. I hope he stays with the Dolphins. But Jesus, a 13. There's every chance he is going to enter that top echelon of 13s over the next 5 or 6 years, I reckon. So keep an eye on Maxi Plath. Jake Avrilo scored a try. Had a bit of a battler of a game, though, let's be honest here. Wasn't his greatest night out. Good to see Tessie New back in the side and scoring tries as well. He's had a tough start to the season. But, you know, good to see some positivity there. I thought Ewan Aiken was very good as well. I love Ewan Aiken. I think he's such a good player to have in a squad. I would kill to have him in my footy side if I had one. Very, very good player. Outside of that, guys, not a heap to mention. The Dolphins, once they started to run downhill, they just couldn't be stopped. They were just running amok on the Parramatta Eels. So very disappointing performance by the Eels. Let's get to them. Fuck, it's been an up and down season. When you think 2 weeks ago in Canberra, they got absolutely smashed. They come home last week. I was out there at Combank. Maybe I'm the reason they won. Knocked over the North Queensland Cowboys in a pretty gritty performance. They come out in this game and look at $1 million and then just fall into a heap. And I get it. They're missing Mitch Moses, which, you know, really hurts them. There's no doubt about that. But to concede 44 points when you're on the front foot for the first 25 minutes, like they conceded 44 points in what, 50 minutes? Like, that's a fucking train wreck. Halfback or no halfback, you've just got to show that grit in defense, which they're not at the moment. Very, very disappointing. Assi, he got a HIA at one point. He came off, which hurt them. But the game was, in my opinion, well and truly done by then. It sounds like Clint Gutherson could spend some time on the sidelines. We'll wait to hear an actual report on that. But I've heard rumors that his injury might not be overly positive. So we do wish Gutho all the very best. And hopefully that mails off. Hopefully he's sweet. But yeah, guys, look. Dill Brown scored late to get, I think, 60 in Supercoach or something like that. But once again, a pretty poor performance by Dylan at halfback. And, I mean, I guess the reality is that he's just not a halfback. But even defensively, he still came out with a number of missed tackles that it just isn't Dill Brown. Like, yeah, you have a look at their missed tackle list. Like, the only guys that didn't miss tackles in their starting lineup was fucking Sean Russell and Bailey Simonson, who are out on the stings. Everyone else had one or multiple missed tackles in this game. So, yeah, very disappointing. And they looked so good early. That was the frustrating thing. Yeah, they looked confident. Bryce went for a little chip over the top. Sean Lane crashed over. They were looking great. And then just fell into a heap. Just fell into an absolute heap, and they just, yeah, very disappointing by Parramatta. This is the thing. I'm not sure how many changes they make realistically or what moves they make heading into next week. Yeah. Don't quite know what to say there, to be honest with you guys. Very disappointing by the Parramatta Eels. And look, I had some messages from Parramatta fans saying that, you know, they're so disappointed. And you're rightfully so. You should be disappointed that this is the worst performance they've seen, all this stuff. Look, this is the lowest Parramatta's been. You've had some pretty low points. I don't think this is it just quite. You won last week. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago you won a wooden spoon. It wasn't that long ago before that that you won a wooden spoon when you were over the salary cap. So, look, it's not absolute dire straits for Parramatta. It's very, very disappointing. I'm not denying that. But I do think that some of the reactions by Parramatta fans have been a little bit over the top. That's my opinion. But we'll see. I'm not sure who Parra play next week, but they're an interesting side to see how they bounce back. They play the Seagulls at Brookvale Friday night. Holy, that'll be interesting. All right, let's move to Super Saturday, the Penrith Panthers and the West Tigers. We watched this one in the CBA Centre of Excellence. Myself, Maddie, Hamiso, Timmy, the great Supercoach Spy, my brother Josh joined us. It was a good little afternoon. The Panthers, 22 over the West Tigers, 6. We'll talk about it as the first thing, guys, because I personally thought it just had to be a sin bin. Brad Schneider, obviously the ankle tap on Justin Olam when I think the West Tigers were going to score for all money. And it was the turning point in this game. I thought the Tigers were right fucking in this. And they got the penalty, which they should have. But I think it should have been a sin bin. I think that's a blatant professional foul. And I was very surprised that it wasn't just an automatic thing. If I was the West Tigers, I'd be pretty upset with that one. But they did have their opportunities throughout the game, and they did make a lot of key errors that cost them as well. But I thought that that call was a very, very big one that went the Penrith Panthers' way in this moment. I personally think that it 100% should have been a sin bin. And I haven't listened to Benji Marshall's press conference yet to hear what he said. But I'm keen to see how Benji handled that, because that's probably one of those calls got every right to really blow up Deluxe about, but I'm keen to see what Benji says, I think Benji will take the accountability route, and that's why I like Benji as a coach. He takes responsibility for his own backyard from what I've seen so far, so hopefully he keeps that up. Haven't seen the press conference, maybe I'm wrong, but keen to have a look at it. Look, we'll start at the West Tigers here. Jesus, Junior Tupou is going to be a good signing for the Dolphins. Fuck, he looks dangerous. Very, very good player. Scored the first try, which is good to see. Charlie Staines had a bit of a mixed bag. Jareem Bull, a bit of a mixed bag as well. This is the other thing with the Tigers. They were in this game against the Penrith Panthers, and I don't think they played their greatest game of all time. Galvin came back, played his 80 minutes, took a heap of hit-ups, went hard at the game. They just weren't able to break them open. I thought Aiden Caesar was tremendous as well. Fuck, he does some good things. There was another moment in this game that Aiden Caesar where he was away, and if he could have found a support player, it could have been another try for the West Tigers. Potentially got called back. They challenged it, and the West Tigers won, which I thought was a bit of a harsh one on the West Tigers again, which wasn't ideal. But yeah, I'm just loving what I'm seeing with Caesar. And I spoke about the other day on Bloke. If you just watch him really closely, he just does all the one percenters, right? He's kick chase. He's showing a jersey in defense every single time. There's just so much to like about what Aiden Caesar is doing at the moment. He's been a tremendous signing, a very, very good signing. And, yeah, I don't know, like, obviously Galvin's an absolute gun. Jerome Luai's coming in next year. But, man, I reckon Caesar's – I reckon he's going to give Coach Benji Marshall some real headaches, because he's playing great footy at the moment. Is there potential to maybe play, you know, Caesar at 7, Luai at 6, play Galvin at 13 maybe? Is it too early for Galvin to play 13 potentially? I don't know, but – I just think Caesar's playing really good footy at the moment. He's been a very, very good signing. Stefano coming off the bench, a little bit quiet, as front row forwards tend to be against the Penrith Panthers. I thought Johnny Bateman, he obviously played center. He came up with a couple of errors, but he came up with errors in trying to turn this game. I thought he was really, really good, Bateman. I love that little arm flick that he does. He does all the time. He's an interesting little cat, Johnny Bateman. Who else did I think? Oh, mate, what about Samuel Ofoanu, who comes off the bench? Fuck, he's been a good signing. I reckon the Manly Seagulls, and obviously the Finos, you know, they've got history and whatnot, but I'll tell you what, if the West Tigers can keep him on the straight and narrow, he's a very, very good footballer, Finos. He's one of the better bench forwards in the competition at the moment. He's one to keep an eye on. If you haven't watched him too closely, keep an eye on him, because fuck, he can play. Played 60-odd minutes coming off the bench. Was very, very dangerous. I thought Twal was solid coming off the bench again. Made about 70-odd metres, 27 tackles. Didn't miss a tackle again. I'll tell you who I did like the look of, Latu Finu. Man, he looks dangerous. I think that he has well and truly jumped Bud Sullivan. I think that's pretty evident, obviously, from the team selection as well. But, yeah, I think if they were to have another injury or suspension in the halves, I think Latu would get picked for sure. Fanua Bolle, good as well. Big fan of him. I think he's got a – man, there's so many guys in this West Tiger side that have got a lot of potential. The problem with the West Tigers was they just had too many errors. If you have a look at their side, from 1 through to 9, every single player had one, at least one error, from fullback through to hooker. And Staines, Naden, and Junior Tupou had two errors each. So from the starting lineup, they only had one, only had two players, David Clemmer and Finola Bolle, who didn't make an error. Against the Penrith Panthers, you're going to make life very, very hard for yourself there at the end of the day. So as much as, once again, referee decisions went against the West Tigers, and I thought there was one that was a real fucking howler, they didn't really do themselves any favour. I thought a big, big moment in this game was when the West Tigers got the penalty. I would say about 25 to go. I don't have the exact time on me. They tap. Stefano takes a great hit up and then gets the ball knocked out of his hands, which was fair play. But just those moments when you're starting to get on the front foot, you're getting back in this game against the best team in the competition. And it's a good lesson for Stefano. You've got to hold that pill like there is nothing that matters more to you, because that was a real turning point in this game. I thought the momentum had really swung, and in that instant, it went away from the West Tigers again. For the Penny Panthers, just more of the same, isn't it? Isaiah Yeo was unbelievable. Brian Toto, 200 metres. Taruva was solid. They just went about their work as they always do. Very, very good performance. You know, like a good performance by a lot of guys. Probably, I don't think anyone was like absolutely outstanding. Probably Isaiah Yeo was my best on the field. Had a nice little try assist. Did some good things there. But yeah, look, the Penrith Panthers, when we, you know, and this is the thing when you're the Penrith Panthers, every team's saving their best game for you. Every team's using you as the benchmark to take you on. And they just keep doing the damn thing. So full credit to them. I did think Schneider should have been Simbin, and potentially they could have turned this game on its head. But that call didn't go, so it just is what it is, unfortunately. I thought Fisher-Harris was very good. Obviously a big week for him. 140-odd run meters, scored a try, had a line break. It was very, very good, Fish. And kept Stefano very quiet, who's been huge so far this year. So he does it again. This is just what this fucker does. He just takes on the best guys in the comp, the best front row forwards, the most ferocious guys, the guys that have all these stats, and they're always quiet against him. So full credit to Fish. Look, the Penrith Panthers, they march on, keep doing their damn thing. They'll get Nathan Cleary back next week, I believe. We'll wait for team list and everything, but I'm pretty sure he returns next week. So, the Panthers, they just keep rolling and doing the damn thing. All right, let's move to the next game. Fuck. What about this game? The Seagulls, 34 over the Titans, 30. I thought the Titans were a real sniff at an upset here, and I think this is one that'll really hurt the Titans. An improved performance, there's no doubt about it, but one of those games that was really there to be won. Early, it looked like the Manly Seagulls were going to run away with this. Tommy Turbo scored potentially one of the softest tries you will ever see. And you sort of went, oh my God, the Titans, these poor bastards, they're going to wear it today. Jason Saab then crossed, and it was sort of like put the feet on the table and sit back and watch a Manly onslaught. And the Titans, they dug deep, and full credit to them. I know they didn't win this game, but fuck. How on earth they got themselves back into this one, I will never know. Campiera scored a double for Fita from dummy half. What about AJ Brimson jumping over the top of the great Tommy Trbojevic? Something tells me, and I know this is going to be a wild hot take, something tells me that AJ Brimson might just be a fullback. I would be playing him there over the next few weeks, and I know Jaden Campbell's an absolute fucking gun, but if you can get the absolute best out of your very best player, I think you have to play him there. I don't know. It's a tough one, but he's just too good at fullback, AJ Brimson. I think that's good night nurse stuff. I just think he has to be there. I had him as anytime try scorer in this game. We got him at 420 on Neds when he was named at 5'8", so we'll swallow that up. Very, very good. And Tanner Boyd scored late as well. He's copping it left, right, and centre, Tanner Boyd, and I get it. His form hasn't been great, but I've always liked Tanner Boyd. I still think he's got a future in our game. I think that all of a sudden now the Titans are like, he's our halfback, he's our guy. It's like, okay, you fucked around with him for like half a decade though, play him at lock, play him at hooker, occasionally at halfback. I don't think the Titans have done Tanner Boyd all that many favours over the last few years, and now I think the fans are really starting to jump all over him. But it's tough to develop as a halfback in this league when you get 80 minutes every single week, when you're dicked around in other positions and played off the bench and different halves parts, all this sort of stuff. It's even more difficult. So I feel really, really sorry for Tanner Boyd. At the end of the day, he's also a halfback playing behind a pack that's missing arguably the best front row forward in rugby league, one of, and definitely their best front row forward as well. So tough gig. I thought Kieran Foran had a really good game, threw some really nice pills, obviously threw the intercept as well, which hurt, but came with some really, really nice plays in this game. So look, Titans, despite losing, I think there's a lot to take out of this. I'm sure you Titans fans would have thoroughly enjoyed that one. Tough one to lose. The only thing that I would say about the Titans, and maybe this has been nitpicky, I know that Titans fans would have enjoyed this one, but fuck, I really want to see the Titans getting away from that. We know we can score points. We'll just chase you all day. They still conceded 34 points, which is not what you want to see at all. And it's not what Des Haslett would want to see. And it's the number one thing the Titans have to turn around, because they score 30 here and that's great. But, you know, you look at this side, they got points all through. We know they've got points. It's the defense that we really want to see. And I know Titans fans feel very similar from the couple that I speak to each week. I know they feel very similar. So, plenty of positives to take out of it. But fuck, I would just love to see over the next few weeks the Titans work towards. And honestly, with their attacking side, with their attacking upside, you don't have to be the best defensive side in the comp. But if you can just limit teams to going sub 20 points in a game, you're going to win a heap of games because your attack is so fucking good. They've just got to get that shit sorted. My boy Jermaine Jola, solid once again, 137 run meters. I think he got through a heap of work there. 33 tackles, zero missed. Very good player. Fifita, I know they're bringing him off the bench. I would love to just see them start him. I thought it was really interesting when they were down early. Haslett didn't panic and put Fifita on straight away. Waited for the right moment, and he was good again, Fifita. I'm not sure what he scored in Supercoach. I never got to have a look, but... might just get that up now quickly. Have a little Damien Cook at that. But he's a guy that I'll be seriously considering over the next few weeks. With a try, Fifita 86. Fuck, he's a juggernaut. To take that try out, you're still looking at what, like 50, high 50s for Dave Fifita in a game where he only played 60 minutes. So, and I mean, it's no shock Dave Fifita's going to score tries. A fucking good player. So, yeah, really interesting there. The Manly Seagulls got away with this one. Good to get a win. Once again, conceded 30 points against a team at the bottom of the ladder. They won't be happy with it. But sometimes you just get stuck in these shootouts and it's hard to get yourselves out of them. And a team like Manly, you'd rather win them than lose them, obviously, so you take it. But, yeah, you want to see better defense, and especially in a game like this where their attack, like, they just sort of went through the motions early. Tommy Turbo cruised over, Jason Saab, Olakwato, all pretty soft tries. The try that Tommy Turbo scored before halftime was an absolute cracker. God, it was weird in this game where there was just no try. There was... what is it, 10 or 11 tries in 55 minutes, then just none for 30 minutes. Absolutely bizarre in this game. But the Manly Seagulls, sometimes you got to win ugly. They won this one ugly. It was a bit all over the place. Attacking-wise, very good, but just, yeah, not pretty when it comes to the defensive side of stuff that you want to see from the Manly Seagulls. Obviously, Tommy Turbo was great in this one. Was very, very good. Had a great game. I thought Olakwato, very solid as well. He was popping up everywhere. Tanela Paseka, I left him out of my Blues Smokies podcast the other day. Maybe I'm sleeping on Paseka. Maybe he is a little sniff. I know a lot of you guys out there thought that he should have been there, and completely fair enough. Yeah, look, Manly Seagulls, you walk away from this one. You aim to get your defense better, and you just take the W in this game. All right, last game we're going to do, because we're not doing the Sunday games. They haven't been played yet. We've got the Brisbane Broncos and the Canberra Raiders. 34 points to 10, the Broncos over the Canberra Raiders. Start with the Brisbane Broncos. They are such a bizarre football side in that they can seemingly be playing so poorly. Everything can just be, not everything going against them. Like, you make your own bed. They take so many risks. They make a lot of errors. But I think if you have a look at that, you know, that first 30 minutes or whatever, they were completing at about 40% and they led like 20-0 or something. It's just fucking wild how this team plays their footy. And I love it. I think it's so entertaining to watch. Are you going to beat the top teams with this sort of footy? Probably not. But in saying that, they were doing it last year, got all the way to the grand final, almost beat the Penrith Panthers, took the biggest comeback of all time. So I like that the Broncos lean into this brand of footy. And, you know, the Raiders have been a very good defensive side, and the Broncos just piled points on. Imagine when they actually complete high and it all comes off. Like, they could score 100 points in a game, the Brisbane Broncos. They're such an entertaining side to watch. Reece Walsh is having a great season. I think he scored in every single game so far that he's played in. He's in incredible form, Reece Walsh, and I believe he will be the Queensland fullback for game one. Ezra Mam obviously scored a try for Chevy Stewart Bomb. We'll get to Chevy soon. We posted about him on Instagram a little bit earlier today, so we'll get to that soon. Selwyn Cobbo scored a nice try. I think he's been really unlucky in the first few weeks, Selwyn Cobbo. Done a number of very good things that probably deserved a lot more tries, a lot more Supercoach points, and he's just been unlucky. So good to see him convert one there. Ketone Staggs had an injury. I'm not quite sure what the go is there. We'll have to wait and and C. Who else went good? I thought Corey Jensen was fantastic. What did he go for? 192 metres. Yeah, 72 post-contact. He was very good, Corey Jensen. I think the great How Good Sport on Instagram nominated him as a Queensland Smokey, and I sort of went, oh, don't know about that. Watched him last night, and I kind of get where he's coming from. Really interesting watch. Corey Jensen, always been a good player. Jaden Hunt, geez. That one of those defensive efforts, I think it was the Simi Sasagi try. Jesus, that was poor. Very, very, he'd be very disappointed with that. Paddy Carrigan, 65 minutes, 200 metres, 37 post-contact. Great again, as he always is. So, yeah, and coming off the bench, I thought Xavier Willison very good as well. I know a lot of us have him in our Supercoach sides. 45 minutes there, 45-odd points. Very, very good player. I almost played him over Ethan Strange. Then I thought, no, I'm too scared of that ceiling getting me. So that went a little bit costly, but not too bad. For the Raiders, tough night for Chevy Stewart, one of our boys. We've been talking about Chevy for a long time. As you guys know, we've been saying for a long period of time, the Raiders, they struggle to sign blokes. And we said this 2 years ago. What they've done, though, is they've actually gone out and signed a couple of young superstars who I think will be very, very good players. Ethan Strange, Chevy Stewart, these sort of guys. Chevy made his debut last week, was reasonably quiet, came into this one, really struggled, had four errors, wasn't a great night, got whacked a couple of times. Look, as I said on Instagram, the NRL's fucking hard. Yeah, we get used to it week to week. We get acclimatized to how violent it is and the level that these guys play at. It takes time to be an NRL player. Chevy Stewart will be a very good NRL player. And I'll tell you what told me that last night. It couldn't have gone much worse for him. In the rain, at Suncorp, your team's down and out, and he is just making mistake after mistake after mistake. Most guys would have folded like fucking wet origami in this game. Chevy just kept going at it, and that's what I love to see. And this is what I've been saying about Reece Walsh for a couple of years. When he was at the Warriors, everyone fucking bagged the shit out. And too many errors, he's not good, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, but the thing is that Reece Walsh makes errors and he goes, fuck it, I'm going to go at it again. He doesn't go into his shell. He doesn't go, oh, shit, I better stand back here. He keeps going at the game, and that's what fucking winners do. And this is why Reece Walsh is such a champion player. Go back, check the tapes. I've been saying this for 4 or 5 years about this kid. This is what separates Reece Walsh from the rest. And Chevy Stewart, I saw that last night as well, which I absolutely love. A kid in his second game of first grade at the Cauldron up there at Suncorp, making mistakes, having a shocker. And every time he got his opportunity, he ran that ball back as hard as he fucking could, which I love to see. So shout out to Chevy Stewart, made the decision to leave the Sharkies a couple of years ago. A Sharks junior making his debut for the Raiders last week. This week, really struggling. This is first grade. I really hope, and I assume he will, Ricky Stewart will give him a few more weeks just to learn from that and improve, because I promise you guys, there is a good footballer in Chevy Stewart. Don't let the performance last night convince you that he's not good or whatever. That's a real fucking yell at a cloud opinion. Very good player, Chevy. Other players, Matty Timoko, another 200 metres at centre. Absolute maniac. Very good player. Joe Tarpanay, 180-odd run metres. Very good. Morgan Smithy's only played the 47 minutes. I would assume that when he took him off with Joe Tarpanay, they were down by 20 points or whatever, and Ricky Shaw went, you know what, this game might be gone from us. I'm going to see what these other guys can do on the bench, Trey Mooney's and these sort of guys. So I'm expecting Morgan Smithy's to go back to big minutes next week. I think it had more to do with just the fact that they got absolutely pumped. Tarpanay only played 55 minutes, Papali'i 46, Morgan Smithy's 47. I think he gave these other guys a few more minutes in this game to see what they're about and whatnot, because realistically that game was probably done and dusted. I thought Simi Sasagi ended up starting in the back row. We said to you guys on the preview the other day, we said, hey, Simi Sasagi's at $11.50 on ATS. That is overs. If he happens to get on the field or to get a bait in this side, that'll be lovely. And he crashes over there, $11.50 on Neds. We absolutely love that. Good player, Simi Sasagi. Don't sleep on him. But yeah, look, the Raiders, they got blown off the park in this one. Ata Mariota played, 60-odd minutes there as well. Look, it just wasn't the Raiders' night, and there's a lot of teams that go to Suncorp and don't have their nights. And Brisbane, as much as they weren't playing the absolute greatest footy in the world, fuck, when they link up, they're just so hard to stop. So honestly, for me, if I'm Ricky Stewart and the Raiders, I'm putting this one in the swag. I'm moving on to the next. I'd watch the tape. I'd take it in. Take certain things from it. But I wouldn't, if I'm a Raiders fan, I wouldn't put too much emphasis on this one. The big talking point, though, and we have to talk about it, Jamal Fogarty. If he is injured and out for a long period of time, That makes it tough. I'll tell you what, they've got Adam Cook in reserve grade, who I think he's meant to be playing today. I assume he'll probably get pulled from New South Wales Cup. Man, I'd be trying to get young Ethan Saunders down. I met him last week out at Parramatta. Seems like a good kid. Rumours around that he's going to sign there. I've actually heard that he has signed there already, Ethan Saunders. No confirmation on that, though. I'd be trying to get him down there ASAP because, yeah, they need a seven down there. With all due respect to Adam Cook, he might be their best option, but I don't think he's the answer. And this is where, once again, fucking heartbreaking, obviously, from just a life perspective. Troy Dargan in the preseason, who I always really loved. I'll tell you what, if Troy was still with us, I'd be talking him up deluxe this week, and he'd come in and do a really good job for the Raiders because, fuck, he was a good footballer and a kid that was really tough. So still thinking of the Dargan family, such sad circumstances. The Raiders would wish Troy Dargan was with them every single day, especially now that they need a halfback. I fucking guarantee you Troy would have come in and done a good job. So thinking of you, Troy, and all the Dargan family. Very, very tough situation there. A bit of a somber way to finish our rapid review here, guys. But, yeah, very, very tough one there. Thank you for joining us once again, guys. As I said, the two Sunday games, they're about to be played in a couple of hours. I'm going to head over to Wentworth Park now to watch my brother make his Jersey Flag debut. So a pretty exciting day for me. Going to go out there and watch that. Enjoy the footy this afternoon, and we'll have our review of those other two games coming your way probably on Monday, actually. So stay tuned for that, guys. Once again, today's rapid review brought to you by the Roo Crew. The link is in the description, guys. Go and check it out. Join the Roo Crew. So much extra content in there. I think there's about almost 200 bits of extra content in there from the first month, whether that be exclusive stuff that you can only see in there, whether that be, you know, videos when you can only get the videos on the podcast and whatnot. You can only get the video content in the Roo Crew. Come and check it out. 186 posts we've had in there in the first month. So much content in there, a heap of stuff. You get all the super.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Coach stats, get my thoughts throughout the Supercoach weekend and all that. Especially if you're a Supercoach player, I'd highly advise you get in there. We do numerous Q&As during the week where we ask the Roo Crew for questions. That's where we get them from. So if you want to hear your questions get a feature and get answered, make sure you jump in there, guys. $2 a week, $8 a month. You get exclusive access to our merchandise that'll be coming out over the next few weeks as well. So very exciting times. Thank you for joining us once again on the Rapid Review. We will see you very soon.